Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
And good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, who's founder of Institute for Personal Development that's located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. So good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. And how about you?
I'm doing fabulous on this moon day. Thanks. And I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And today on the Voice of Yoga, we will be talking about the fundamentals of your spiritual practice. We will explain why less is more when it comes to the realms of spirit. We have been socialized with an addition mentality because of our material orientation. We add chocolate syrup to the banana split to make it better. We add salt and pepper to the chicken to make it better. And we add dinner to the date to make it better. When it comes to the realm of spirit, elimination is the way to go. So join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and feel the benefits of pure spirit. So Swami, I guess one of the first things I wanted to talk to you about is I belong to a yoga group on LinkedIn, and a discussion topic that I was looking at, the question was, can you be spiritual and use cannabis? I know that's a loaded question, and can we talk about that?
Well, I think actually the question was, can cannabis be used to enhance your spirituality or something along those lines? And, you know, those are some of the things that we really focus on here, that is it even possible to add something to spirit? Because according to most of the texts, the relationship with God is always something that is mutually exclusive. And this whole thing of being spiritual without this conversion that we talk about, then what you actually are is you're still drawing from the wrong energy field, and you're still plugged into a very limited sense of who you are. And for the most part, a lot of it is just, you're just pretending to be spiritual. It kind of reminds me of, you know, like when we're little kids, and especially me being a boy playing with cars or whatever, that I would have this little plastic car, and I would make all kinds of sounds that would imply that the car was running. So I'd be broom, 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 broom. And that's what I think what most of us call being spiritual is, that we have these misconceptions of what it is, and we don't really have the real source of sustenance in its position of importance. And that's one of the reasons why there's so much talk about false gods, there's so much talk about avidya, ignorance, mistaking the impermanent for the permanent. But I think that if you are one of those people who think that by indulging yourself in things in the physical world is enriching your spiritual practice, that you really want to go back to the drawing board. Because that's kind of like that vertigo thing when you're scuba diving, that you're actually moving towards the bottom and you think you're going towards the surface. So you really want to be cautious about that and maybe measure what you're doing next to a lot of the things that we're recommending here. Because I really like what C.S. Lewis said once, that if you're driving somewhere and you miss your turn, to continue going in the direction that you're going may not be getting you closer to your destination. And it's typically the one that turns back first that gets to where they want to go. So in this respect, you may want to measure what you're doing against some of the things that we're going to bring up here. And before I turn this over to you, I would really like to congratulate you on the class that you did in Burlington, Vermont this weekend, that representing Institute for Personal Development in the Burlington Yoga Week at the Lowly studio was pretty fabulous.
Well, thank you for that. It was a good time. It was nice to meet other yogis, so that was really great. So you bring up a point that I wanted to talk about, and this is years ago. I had read this book, I believe it was by Ram Dass, and in the book it talks about how he uses drugs to get into this kind of meditative state. And at the time when I read that, I remember thinking that the purpose of the book was so that he could say to people, this is what it is like to be in this meditative state. So maybe people don't know why they want to be spiritual, why they want to have this connection, because they don't know what it feels like. So obviously we don't want to encourage people to use drugs and so on and so forth, but I think at that particular time that was, you know, an acceptable part of where this country was, where the people were, because a lot of songwriters came up with some beautiful music and things like that because, you know, supposedly they were, you know, enhanced by using drugs. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that we have to make a real distinction between what it is to be physical, what it is to be astral, and what it is to be spiritual. Because most of those drug-induced states are really just astral experiences. And you really don't want to get caught up in the realms of of thought or mind, because it's equally as dualistic as the physical world. And the other thing is that I really like the whole concept of understanding that what drugs do is they trigger altered states of consciousness, which is what we are looking to do. But one of the things that happens is that if you start using drugs to trigger altered states, it's kind of like if you're hiking through the wilderness, you climb up a tree, and to try and give you a broader perspective in relationship to your environment where you might be. So say, for example, I climb up a tree, I look out, and I say, wow, there's an opening about 3 miles to the east, might be a lake. Using drugs is similar to that, except for the simple thing that it's like constantly going back to the same tree. So it's like me coming down that tree, taking a few steps and saying, wait a minute, I'm just going to go and take one more look. And then you go back up the same tree. And then you come down and it's like, wait a minute, I'm just going to take... And there's really not much advancement. So letting go of the concept of using drugs to give you kind of like an indicator of what it's going to be like to be spiritual, first of all, isn't accurate, because it's an astral experience and it's not the same as when you are connected to the life force. Remember, you're not trying to identify with a dream state, you're trying to identify with the dreamless state, and that's very different. And the connection to spirit is the only one that would give you that experience.
Oh, good. Well, thank you for clarifying that. That makes perfect sense. So the use of drugs to enhance your spirituality is kind of a false statement, because it's just going to put you into this state and doesn't have anything to do with your connection, if I'm understanding you right. And then I also think there's something to be said for having to go through what it takes to do it without any of those kinds of enhancements. You know, going through the work and the process and the procedure of consciously making all these right decisions to get to this connection.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. It kind of reminds me, I remember when I first started working on computers and I would have say, for example, I'd be trying to make a document in Word and I would do something and I would think, oh, wow, how did I do that? And, you know, you get a glimpse of that this thing has certain capabilities, but you're not really entirely sure what are the steps that are required to be able to do that consistently. And if you do have a good spiritual practice, it's like taking a class in how to format a brochure or a document in a computer program. It kind of gives you the steps. It kind of gives you things that you can duplicate to Xerox these experiences over and over again. And some of the things when you look at these tried and true systems, one of the first things that they really talk about is purification. That if you do not purify your body, then you do not prepare it for the invocation of this more subtle source of sustenance. And then, of course, just adding something onto that just complicates the whole thing. As opposed to what we talk about, elimination. Getting rid of our unnecessary dependencies is where the whole thing begins. Getting rid of our dependency upon things that are visible and tangible and things that are invisible and tangible is where it starts. And then, of course, trying to get a handle on this source of sustenance that's invisible and intangible, but also recognize that it's exclusive. It's not like you can have your cake and eat it too, kind of a thing.
Well, I find that very interesting because you just reminded me of a book I had read years ago, and it's called Mutant Message Down Under. And this woman who's from the United States gets invited to go to Australia, and she spends some time with this Aboriginal tribe, and they teach her, you know, their ways of life and their and how they live with their land and so on and so forth, and their idea of spirituality. And they say to her that in the West we have this compulsion that we have to cover everything. Like we cover our bodies, of course, and then we have to cover our food with sauces, and we have to cover our birthday cakes with frosting, and we're always masking everything that's around us. And so in the book, it was kind of like leading you to believe that we do that physically, but we also do this spiritually too. We're masking ourselves from what really is important, and then that's why we have a hard time trying to find the spiritual connection, because we want everything to be better than it was before. We want our movies to be better. We want our food, you know, to be more complicated, and we don't have this sense of simplifying.
Yeah, and that actually comes back. That's the whole dynamics of manifestation, period, that nothing manifests whole. And to try and complete ourselves in the physical world, you start, like just like what you're saying, you start adding on. You know, it's more and more and more. When, in fact, the reality of it is completion will never happen in the physical world. That's why we had to learn how to transform and connect to truth and wholeness, to connect to this more reliable resource, But you can't just do it intellectually. You have to rebirth your body in it.
All right, great. Well, I think it's about that time where we need to pause and hear a word from our sponsors. So, listeners, we'll be back in a few moments. And if you have any questions for Swami, I'll open up the phone lines and you can ask him at that time. We'll return in a moment.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods. A complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Kriya Yoga Theory 1 live classes and videos. Get your arms around the spiritual science of Kriya Yoga.
You know, the intention of why we practice is to embody spirit, you know, to feel connected to the life force.
Kriya Yoga Asana live classes and videos. A cosmically engineered system of exercises to initiate apotheosis. A system of exercises engineered for dining and dancing at the cosmic ballroom. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 live classes and videos. A practice in open form designed to facilitate positive growth of consciousness. Get your labyrinth video.
I find the positive side of it is a lot of things together.
Kriya Yoga mantra and meditation. With repetition comes absorption. Prayan prana and become divine.
At the same time, we all have a unique talent and gift to give back to the universe.
Private session. The mysteries of the universe have always been handed down verbally from teacher to student. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com.
Namaste.
And welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So at this time, I would like to open up the phone lines, and if you have a question for Swami, you can ask it at this time.
You said unmute it.
You said what? Now they're muted.
Okay, Swami, so I think I have more questions for you about what we were talking about earlier. And that is this concept of that we have to kind of supersize everything. Like if you go anywhere, it's, do you want me to supersize those fries for you? And it seems like that using enhancements in your spirituality, whatever that might be, that's kind of like this supersizing mentality. So how do we get ourselves to the point where we bring it down to the most simplest form of our practice?
Yeah, I think the key there is that you have to recognize that there's only one way that this whole thing goes right, and that there's only one God, there's only one truth, there's only one religion, there's only one yoga. There's only one number one need. And so once you recognize that none of this is magic, that all of it is physics, and it is all going to be dependent upon what it is that I desire, what it is that I long for, what is it that I am addicted to? And if you are clear about what your number one need is, because, again, your number one need is invisible and intangible. Mm-hmm. But in I love what C.S. Lewis said about this, something like, in the end, it really doesn't matter what you chose instead of the kingdom of God. You know, that if you do not choose the kingdom of God, it doesn't matter what we choose instead. That was, the term was called a sin. It missed the mark. you're drawing from an energy field that is limiting and not liberating. And so one of the things that you can actually do is that if you are constantly looking to enhance what it is that you're doing, then chances are you're drawing from something that's dualistic. Now, whether it's particles or waves, that part doesn't matter. The thing that you really want to try and do is have a clear understanding of what is your number one need. What is the force right now that I can live the least amount of time with or without? And, of course, that comes down to the life force, because we can live weeks without food, we can live days without water, we can live minutes without air, we cannot live a millisecond without this grace of God, without this tree of life. And the more you understand that, being spiritual isn't some intellectual declaration, that it's actually this conversion, this rebirthing of your body, so that now your body doesn't look for things that are dualistic. It looks for this unified state. When that happens, matter and mind now come together with new information. That's what actually starts this progressive cycle. You were talking about LinkedIn Yoga Alliance discussion groups, and I'm on one, and they actually had a question there, was what was the true meaning of Om? And of course, if you understand what Om is actually the sound that happens when matter and mind come together with this energy field. It's just like when the car starts up and you hear the vroom. You don't any longer have to go broom, broom, broom. And people think that by going broom, 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 that it's going to start the car up, when in fact it's really the connection to the life force that starts the human mind-body complex up.
So are you saying that, you know, if we were to chant Om all day long, that's really not going to be the process that's going to get us to this connection?
Well, you could chant Om all day long, just like the little child can go broom, broom, broom with the plastic car, but the car never starts up. And so those are the things that I always refer to as the concept of pretending to be spiritual and having kind of like this attitude, or even the simple fact that people sincerely believe that if they continue to chant that sound, that they are going to get all the benefits the books are talking about. But without this internal connection, without this union of the individual with the divine, nothing really happens. Now, once you've made that connection, then, of course, Om has completely different meaning to you because it's a mode of operation. It's a reminder.
Now, we know there's a lot of information out there. Like, you know, we just talked about there's a lot of discussion groups on various blogs and things like that, and there's so much of this information that bombards people, and, you know, some of it is, you know, kind of fluffy, and, you know, there's all this information. So how can we read this information and discern for ourselves, you know, what is this information trying to say, and is it something that's going to even help me in my practice?
Yeah, again, those are things that most of us have to kind of hack our ways through. I mean, I didn't figure this out going somewhere and getting clear understanding, because it's one of the things we're constantly saying here is that there isn't really good leadership with regard to the concept of being spiritual, that today everything is spiritual. Most people think we're already spiritual. And those are the things that I think we're very different about, and we're really more in tuned into the physics of spirituality as opposed to this intellectual devotional mirage that has kind of taken over our spiritual communities.
I think that's why I enjoy the Theory 2 classes that we do on Thursday night that anybody can access through Powwow if you're not local here in Hampton, is that, you know, we talk about issues like this. And what I like that you do is that you do read a lot of information, and then you have this way of sifting through it and kind of finding the holes in the theory. And I think that's something that we have to do as practitioners, is we have to be able to look at that information and really unbox it all and figure out, you know, what is it that they're trying to say? Because this doesn't feel right to me.
Yeah, that whole thing of feeling right, that whole thing of the physics of spirituality and like attracts like is such an important thing. Because the more you understand that when you go to a spiritual leader and you get there, it really shouldn't feel good. Like, this shouldn't feel right. Because the like attracts like. When we come in, we're drawing from duality. And if it feels right, then whatever it is that you are now signing up for is probably at the same level of consciousness, the same degree of awareness that you're at. And therefore it feels good. But if it kind of feels threatening and makes you feel awkward and uncomfortable, then it's a better chance that this might be more genuine. But then again, there's a lot of stuff out there that's so 180 degrees from spirituality that would make a normal person feel uncomfortable. A lot of these cults and, you know, demonic kind of stuff. So you really want to educate yourself with regard to scriptures. Like, what are the fundamentals of spirituality? What are the things that typically are consistent with a spiritual work? And that would be a good starting point. And then once you had a fundamental of being spiritual, the importance of being spiritual.
Thank you for that. Yeah, that definitely gives us a platform that we can work from. And so I can't believe it's time already that we have to start closing down our program. So I would like to invite you listeners out there to visit our website. You can follow Swami on Pinterest and Twitter and Facebook, of course. And be sure to visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com. And once you're there, you can post comments about this show or any ideas for shows you may want us to consider airing. Keep those comments, questions, and curiosities. Swami does enjoy hearing from you. And be sure to tune in next week. I believe we're going to be celebrating International Women's Day, but of course we're going to give it our unique Kriya Yoga spin on that, I believe. And don't forget, you can email me at lisa@ipdtransform.com with questions and comments that you would like us to consider. So, Swami, any final thoughts today or comments about our discussion or what we'll talk about next week?
Well, I would like to recap a little bit about what we said and try and give everybody an understanding that spirituality must be your only addiction, that this whole thing of any unnecessary dependency will become a barrier to you being able to actualize true spirituality. And when your connection to the life force becomes your drug of choice, and you realize that there you don't need any enhancement, that positive growth of consciousness comes with that connection. And the shifts in consciousness are very different than the ones that would be more astral. And from that, I wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
Anyway, thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. And if Jack is tuned into this program, I hope he enjoyed it as well. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.